My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
After you've had a few.
Yeah,
that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink. And I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Won't you guess my name?
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Y'all gonna start making me work from home. I'm telling you right now. If this workstation continues to look as disgusting as it is, I will not show up here. This is ridiculous. Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Mike Bell, you see the remnants of whatever happened over here.
I live with this. I work with this guy. I mean,
is he a slob?
He just, I don't know. There's a little bit of ADD that kicks in. He's really not a great multitasker as far as, like, you know, oh, there's crumbs. I don't even think he sees it. I literally don't even. This is
how could you not see this?
That's nasty.
It is.
You have to understand that back in the day when we used to be on CSS, we used to have cameras in the studio. And Steak did an entire segment with one of his testicles hanging outside of his shorts.
Okay, stop it, man.
No, I'm just telling you. The attention span, it just literally. I remember working with a cohort, and I said, man, I'm like, Steak, that's nuts. Anyway, no, his attention span is just not there. It's non-existent. It does not. You have to understand this. That will sit there until kingdom come unless somebody sweeps it off.
Well, I'm not sweeping it. They don't pay me to do that.
Right.
I'm just saying. I came in here today. I'm in a great mood. Mike and I, we're done early tonight, by the way. Atlanta United has a match. We're going to talk to Garth Lagerwey here in about 15 minutes. But literally, I came in here. There's only a couple of things I need to do my job. Okay? I need a chair. I need a mic that works. And I need a clean workstation. I got two of the three today. That's all I'm saying. So if this, in fact, was Steak, and by the way, it's his birthday?
Yes, happy birthday, Steak.
Happy birthday, Steak, seriously. But if this was you, come on, bro. We got to be better than this.
Yeah, and for those that are following at home, we have a station here. We have, what, 5 microphones here? And or was it 4? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, we have 4. But we got 4 stations. So Carl is basically at home plate. I'd be at third base. Mm-hmm. And Carl has the misfortune of having to sometimes follow guys. Like one time with Fricky, wasn't it like Nicorette gum was sitting on the counter? Chewed Nicorette gum.
Well, listen, John did that numerous times, apparently. But he doesn't like to talk about it. So I don't like to talk about it because I don't know why he doesn't like to talk about it. But yes, there was gum left here as if somebody had chewed it and then taken it out of their mouth, freshly taken it out of their mouth, and set it down.
I mean, come on. There's no respect for your workstation.
Well, the other thing is, since I got here, you started the station in 2012. I got here in the summer of 14. The studio was brand new. It's pristine. But we don't have cleaning people that come in here. So we'll get cobwebs and tumbleweeds. And I got to be honest with you. I mean, this studio is right up there with a MARTA train as far as cleanliness.
Well,
I mean, I got to be honest.
It is hard for me to look at it now and know that it doesn't look anything like it did when it was brand new. But nothing does, right? But part of that was, Mike, you didn't eat and drink in here. That's the other part of it.
The one thing about having Felix Unger as a program director, it was verboten. You could not have anything.
You couldn't do anything in here.
We have backslid in that department.
But with that said, come on, Stakey. All right. We got a lot to talk about.
My daughter brought bagels. What am I supposed to do? Not eat the bagels?
No.
Before you go on, Carl, there's a story. It's a legendary story. Back in the old radio station days, he came in one morning and had a large Starbucks coffee in his hand.
Okay.
A large Starbucks coffee. And this is before the station was even on that morning. Comes in. The producer's in the studio. The coffee slips out of his hand, falls, spills, hits a microphone, and as the mic comes on, he utters the two most filthy words that have ever been uttered in combination together. They have to dump the audio, dump all that. There's coffee everywhere. So he dumps the coffee and swears on air.
Wow.
I swear to God this happened.
Wow.
You know, there was really no reason to broach this subject matter. I think that happened in confidence, and I think you have broken a trust, Lauren. There is a trust amongst broadcasters and producers. So, anyway, happy birthday to me.
Yeah.
What do you get the man who has everything?
Happy birthday, brother.
Apparently a mop.
Yeah. And listen, I will say this. Dude knows his food. There's no doubt about it. But when you know your food, you should clean up after yourself.
That's true.
All right. With that said.
Well, look at the bright side. There's no cream cheese on the table.
Is that the good side? That's the good side.
There's no locks.
I'm going to take a picture of this
no
and post it.
There's no schmear on your control board.
No, I'm going to take a picture of this and post it. And you guys tell me, because there's like marks on the table where like somebody had greasy fingers, and I don't know what was going on in here.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, man. Braves win last night 5-4. Mike Sean Murphy comes up big in the ninth inning. I think the bigger thing was two outs in the ninth. We haven't had a lot of two-out big hits this season where we've been clutch like we were last year. And we keep going back because last year was so special. But the fact is, that is what gets you over the hump. Those two-out big knocks, and that's what Murphy does. They win in extras, Mike, but I thought Ozuna did what he does all season long. But to see Sean Murphy come up big last night, that was a big moment.
Yeah, and, you know, we've been talking a lot about the other pitchers, the other guys not going to the All-Star game. And I thought, you know, Bryce Elder did a decent job. And then, unfortunately, they've got to get around this. Every time a team gets to see him for the third time, things seem to go a little bit awry, right?
We've
seen that with him where, you know, he's only got two or three things he's going to do up there. But unfortunately, they did load the bases. And I got to be honest with you, we'll talk to Grant about this a little bit later. Holmes has been really good since he got here. But, man, that's a hell of a situation to put a guy in. Bases loaded, nobody out. He walks in a run, gives up a sack fly, but then hunkers down for two more innings. And then, as you said, the ninth inning, you know, down by two runs, you know, and two outs, too, because Ozuna flied out. Duvall flied out, and then Rosario with the single. And we talked about, can Eddie contribute? Well, how about that? His first game back, and he's able to get you one of the runs that helps you send it to extras.
Sometimes I think hitting is an attitude. And when you have it, you don't ever kind of lose that. You may go into a slump, but you got to have that thing. Eddie Rosario, and again, I don't know if he's going to, you know, be the savior. I don't want to put that on him as far as this lineup and him being consistent night in and night out. He's going to get big knocks. But the point is, when he was the dude in 21, he had attitude. And it wasn't about him going up there and striking out. He was going up there and, Mike, I'm going to make something happen regardless. I'm making contact. I'm putting the bat on the ball. And that's what you saw last night, even though, guys, this season he struggled. He was not good with the Nationals. The Braves are taking a chance on Eddie Rosario because of the history and the connection of what they believe he can be. And last night was, you're right, a prime example of that. Braves are now 1-3 in a row. By the way, during those three wins, guess what they're doing? 5.5 runs per game. That's 6 a game, Mike.
And this snaps that unbelievable streak that we talked about last week. They hadn't won in basically 2 months when somebody scores more, 4 runs or more. Diamondbacks scored 4. Braves find a way to get it done in extra. I can't lie to you. I did fall asleep. I watched the highlights this morning, but I was just blown away to see the clutch. And that's something that, you know, look, hopefully this is a springboard. It's funny. Remember, it was a couple of years back where they had that meeting in Arizona, where it just happened to be the place where Snicker, you know, shut the door and said, look, guys, because they were playing sloppy at that point, which isn't something they never do. But in this case, they get the win. They shave a half game, so it's 7.5 back on the Phillies going into today's action.
Let's hear from Snit, our manager, talk about the win and also talk about Sean Murphy.
It was great. It was a team effort right there. I mean, we kind of laying dead in the woods there and or the weeds, and Murph kind of breathed a little life into us. And you know, thought the bullpen guys did a great job. You know, Grant holding the game in check, you know, giving him, we had three at bats left. So trying to minimize damage in the six was good. And you know, it's good. It's good. That's a good win to get.
Yeah, that's a good club. Obviously, we said you don't want to be limping into the All-Star break, and they're not right now. I mean, they're building on the momentum of winning that series at home against the Phillies. Snit was also talking about Olsen and Ozzie and how they made great defensive plays in this game.
And just to get up and launch it towards home. We made a few really nice. Ozzie made a couple again on some hard hit balls. Just, you know, plays that you got to be heads up and ready to make the catch. You know, so it takes all that to win a tough game like this.
Yeah, the Murphy home run was something, man, because, you know, it's 413 to dead center, and he hit it up there, that little catwalk above the yellow line, that's a bazooka shot. So they got three more with Arizona, and then they play the Padres, to your point, and then the All-Star break.
Olsen's defensive play came in the sixth, guys, where he saves a run, literally, and it might have saved the game as the ball's in foul territory. He makes the play, is able to throw it back to third base where Jock Peterson could have easily tagged up and maybe made the play at home. And he saves a run. And it was just one of those plays where as the game played out and then we win, you go, man, did that particular play save the game? I think it did last night.
Man, we didn't get a chance to talk about it yesterday's show. The play where he goes between his legs.
Sweet.
On the grounder down the line. So Olsen, I mean, yeah, as Carly's flashing the leather of the desert.
That he is, man. Marcell Ozuna, guys. He wins the game for us. Here it is.
1-1 pitch. Marcell to center field. Stays up for Thomas. Riley coming home. The throw is late. Head first slide. Braves back in front.
Yeah, and they would hold on, and Iglesias would get the dub. So, good overall win, as Mike said. It was great when the game finished, but that's what happens on the West Coast, man. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can hit us up 404-726-0929 on our text line, guys. Follow us. He's Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Also, this hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit themancavestore.com this season. We have our summer games draft coming up. Team Dukes, Team Bell. Who's Mike picking? Mm. Who am I picking? Stick around. We've got that on the way, and we'll explain more about the summer games as we'll be out over the next 3 days at various locations, Lake Lanier Islands, Pickleball Social, Margaritaville, and all the games are going to be going down there with our producers. It's going to be a lot of fun, man.
Who are the producers who bring, I don't know, Carl, the intangibles, the moxie to win the summer games?
We're going to find out. Stick around. Hey, we got a lot more to get to, including Garth Lagerwey, who's going to join us next. He is the president and CEO of Atlanta United. And he's got a little money to spend. We'll ask him about all the moves that have been made coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. And Atlanta United has a match tonight, as a matter of fact, and we'll talk to Garth Lagerwey about that. But we got a bunch of stuff to talk to him about as he joins us, president, CEO of Atlanta United. All right, Garth, we got a lot of money to spend, or at least it feels that way. Tell us about the moves that have been made and how you feel now that this is all played out. I think Atlanta United fan 17s are kind of waiting to see what you're going to do and what the club's going to do and how, you know, you're going to add to the roster. But let's talk about the moves that have been made. So far,
yes. We've moved Yorgos Chakamakis to Cruz Azul, Mexico. We moved Thiago Almada to Botafogo in Brazil, and we have one more that may be in the works for Caleb Wiley. So we'll see what happens there. It's things that we have in MLS. You got to be able to move these guys out before you free up the spots to replace them. So we have two designated player spots open, and that's a very exciting place to be in terms of rebuilding the club. And, you know, we think we've been stockpiling role players, foundational players, guys who can help us in the long term. And now we have the exciting part, kind of the next phase of the project, where now we got to bring in some difference makers who we believe are committed to the club.
Garth, speaking of the long term, I was just looking at your resume last couple of years, and when you were in Seattle, it just seems like you had guys that stayed there when they played there. You know, we had a business model that we'd bring kids up from, and it works. You know, we do get a championship, but it does, for the fans, get tough to watch when you know guys have like a timeline. They're going to be gone, right? You're on a short leash. You had guys on that championship team in 19, like Christian Roldan is still there, and you had guys that seemed to last for a long time. Is that where you want to get with Atlanta United?
Yes. And you have to have a different foundation to do it. So you have to have what our prime age players, so players age 24 to 29, that the data says this is where they had a max physical output. They're able to play most, if not all, the games. And now you have continuity on the field, and then that allows you to build depth. The player development pipeline in Atlanta has been good. We got some bumps in a little bit of the younger age groups, but the guys that have come through so far have been good. And look, credit to the previous regime that, you know, we just sold $50 million worth of players over the last three transfer windows. And that means that there were assets here. There was talent here. What hasn't been here is winning. We've been 5 years without being a serious contender for a title. And that's what needs to change. And you have to get the culture right and that continuity. And that's what we're now going to build. And so I think for the last two windows, we've started. I don't want people to think this is a teardown or something. We have liquidated all the remaining assets we have, but we did it with a purpose of trying to build now on the building blocks we've had the last two windows, and now adding again those difference makers. We're basically, think of it as going into free agency now with, two max salaries available.
Yeah. How's that feel to have $50 million to spend? I mean, obviously you're not spending it on yourself, but I'm just saying, like, if you told anybody, here's a checkbook, go ahead and spend. But it's how you spend that money. And, we get a record amount for Almada, $21 million. I was talking to Mike about this in 19 when Miggy left. We got $19 million, and everybody around soccer, in the world of soccer was going nuts. We continue to set the bar. And my question to you is, and I want you to explain it because I think – I tried yesterday, but 95% of this can go towards reinvesting in the club. Is that right? What happens with the other 5%?
MLS takes it. So MLS is a single entity. So technically, they're the league contracts all the players, and so they get a little bit of a vig off the top. Mm-hmm. But to be clear, that the separation is still when you sell a designated player like a Miggy Almiron or Thiago Almada or a Yorgos Chakamakis, that is cash.
Okay.
So that money can only be spent on other DPs. When you sell some of the other players, that potentially, and there's a rule change that might get approved, so we're going to find out on July 18th, but if that rule change gets approved, it would triple the amount of money that you can take from a non-designated player transfer and add that to your salary cap. And so if that goes in, that then becomes really interesting, because now if you can add 30% to your salary cap, now you can use that money any number of ways in terms of applying it to the roster. But otherwise, you know, with some of these broader, the bigger numbers floating around, you know, keep in mind that that's not profit either, right? Like we paid a decent amount of money for Almada, and you know, it was a good transaction, profitable transaction. But we're well aware, and our fan base doesn't care if we're making money. They care about whether or not we sign good players, and that's the phase that comes now, where we go out and we sign the good players and celebrate things like Caleb Wiley making the Olympic team, you know, as an Atlanta homegrown, you know, born and raised in Atlanta, stuff like that. That's really fun.
It is the CEO, the president of Atlanta United, guys, Garth Lagerwey, with us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Just getting back to Caleb Wiley. So was it always the envision he's talented enough that he's going to Europe, or he could, I mean, to the casual fan, you couldn't have kept him?
Look, I mean, nothing is done yet, right? Okay. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But, you know, what I think, you look at, we have to follow the kids' dreams. Like, I still think that, you know, I've been on the show enough now that everyone believes that we're a monolith. And if we, you know, it's like the NBA. And if we want to trade a guy, we trade a guy. But all these guys for these transactions outside of MLS, they have to consent. And so they have a lot to say about it. Yorgos had a lot to say about going to Mexico. Thiago had a lot to say about where he wanted to go, when he wanted to go. And that's, it's Caleb's life. And ultimately, it's up to Caleb if or when he wants to go. But I think it's a pretty cool story. If that's Caleb's dream, he's done really well for us, come all the way up. I think he started with us at 13 or 14 years old. And you know, he's in the top five kids in the world at his age in terms of minutes played for our first team right now. He's in the Olympics. That's such a cool thing. That's such a huge achievement for him. You know, if he wants to take a next step, then that's up to him, and we're going to support him. And we think that part is the positive path. Like when we say we're going to sign prime age players, we'll get guys committed to the team, that doesn't mean players are never going to leave. It doesn't mean we're not going to develop players and send them wherever they want to go. But it means that you got a core and you have some stability. And now if you can get those seven or eight guys, you can change one or two around them in a given year, but you have that stability, right? And we have had so much change here with so much emphasis on buying and selling that I think we can be a little bit more conservative, let's call it, and hopefully get some guys who are here, who are that core, you know, who are that Parkhurst or Larenowitz or some of the guys that have been here for a long time, Brad Guzan,
yeah,
that type of player.
It's a great point. Garth, you played. You've been around the game. You are a successful executive. What the hell's going on with the U.S. men's team, man? I mean, is it Berhalter? Is it just that simple? I want to get your take on this. As Mike and I discussed it pretty much at nauseam last week, is, you know, I think this week we're kind of waiting to see what's going to happen, what shoe's going to drop. But what's your opinion on what's going on with the team as we approach, you know, World Cup coming in 2026?
Look, one of the really hard problems for U.S. soccer right now is that they don't have a lot of meaningful games between now and the World Cup. You know, when you have the automatic qualification, meaning that they're in the World Cup no matter what, that sounds great, but that also means that you don't have games that are life or death for the next 2 years. And so that's what made Copa America such a big deal. And, you know, we had such a great time with it in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, hosting Argentina against Canada, and then a fateful U.S.-Panama match. And you say, hey, you know, the U.S. team's fate turns on that red card in the 18th minute that Weah gets, and something that's out of character for the player. And, you know, you have such small margins in these tournaments. I think it's difficult to make judgments over the small sample, and you got to pull it out. You got to look over a six-year period. And what I would say is Berhalter gets a lot of credit from me because he picked these kids when they were 20 and 21 years old, by and large. And he did it intentionally, had the youngest group group in the 22 qualifying cycle, youngest, I think second youngest group in the 22 World Cup, because they were all going to be prime age in 26. And you guys have heard me use that phrase before, right? Prime age. Why? Why do we like prime age? Because they can play all the time and they have experience and they have leadership. And so that still is coming into this group. Look, you know, obviously you got to take a hard look at what's happening and saying we haven't been able to win that big game and say, okay, what's next and how best to address that? And you know, they get some difficult decisions ahead there.
It just seems like we flushed all the goodwill of 2023, you know, beating up on Mexico and really like being the dominant team in the hemisphere. And then seeing what Canada is doing, it's like, what the heck? Real quick, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but does it need to be torn down to the studs? A lot of folks in soccer feel that youth soccer is, I know we have good things here in Metro Atlanta, but for inner city kids, it's not accessible. We don't get our best athletes playing this sport because it's too cost prohibitive.
Look, that is something that I believe in profoundly, that we have to get this sport in front of the African-American community, particularly here in Atlanta. You know, we are a sport for the working class all over the world, and we're the most inclusive sport. Everybody plays from any culture, any religion, you know, any part of the world. And that's what's fun, right? You don't have to be 7 feet tall. You don't have to be 250 pounds. You know, any size, any shape you can play. And I think that's a really powerful message as we try to build out. And it's one of the things we're really excited about U.S. soccer being in our backyard going forward, because I think between them and us, we can make a huge difference in terms of accessing public schools and really getting the sport in front of some of these kids that maybe haven't been exposed to it before. And that's the huge growth there. If you want to talk long term, it is getting more communities in America, in Atlanta, to play soccer, such that those best athletes, the ones that go, you know, Georgia, I think I read recently, was number one or number two in terms of pro athletes per capita across baseball, basketball, football. That means the talent is here. All we have to do is introduce soccer to these kids, and I bet you some of them are going to want to play soccer. And the fact is, you can make a bunch of money playing soccer now. It is a financially lucrative thing. There's 100 leagues around the world. So it's a real option for families. And, you know, if that's something that we look forward to exploring as we go forward.
Garth, let's talk about tonight. U.S. Open Cup, Atlanta United taking on Indy 11. Pregame, by the way, starts at 6 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Mike Conte, Jason, will have the call for you. But talk to us about tonight's match.
Well, look, we're excited. Open Cup quarterfinal. We win 3 games. We win the title. So, you know, we are going to come out at Kennesaw State and play in front of a nice crowd, an enthusiastic crowd. And, you know, it's possible it's Caleb Wiley's farewell game. We'll see. But it's, you know, there's a lot of reasons to look forward to this and say, hey, this is a real opportunity for us. If you win this tournament, you get entered into the CONCACAF Champions Cup. That's the tournament that I won that was a big deal, and we did it in Seattle in 2022 with the first American team to do that in 20 years. That's something that we want to shoot for at Atlanta United. Again, when you talk about long-term goals, and you know, this is a way where we've struggled a little bit in the season. You know, maybe this is something we can do to redeem part of it. Now, the focus is still the primary goal of the team is still to make the playoffs, because we want to play home playoff games in front of our audience at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But obviously this is a secondary focus of ours, along with Leagues Cup, to look at these kind of knockout competitions and say, hey, are we able to win these one-off games and progress and keep moving forward?
Hey, before I cut you loose, you were a goalkeeper, man. That was your game. Watching some of these penalties in the Europe Cup and here in Copa America, man, is that like the ultimate like 5-foot putt? I mean, it just seems like such a pressure thing with the big free throw.
It's anybody who tells me it's a crap shoot or it's not. It's skill. Those that nowadays everything is prepared, everything is rehearsed. You know, from the sequence of kicks to the parts where they're going to, are you standing still? Are you moving? Like, there's a lot that goes into those. So yes, is there a ton of pressure? Of course there is. But these guys are also elite athletes. So I don't think it's a free throw in the sense of it's a free throw, but there's a guy standing in the paint that might be able to block your free throw, right?
Right.
So, you know, you can hit. Now, look, if you hit a perfect shot, it's unsavable. That I will say. But it's hard to hit a perfect shot, because if you go for a perfect shot in the upper corners, those are the ones that risk hitting the post or going over or whatever. So most guys opt for a little bit more conservative approach that's a little closer in. That means it's a little bit more savable. But, you know, look, we know reliably based on the data that 75% of penalties are scored. And it is going to be a small margin. It's going to be one save or one miss in all these shootouts. And so, look, it definitely makes for good drama. You know, we're definitely looking forward to it. We've been watching the Euros, watching Copa America. You know, there's not that much that separates teams at that level. And it's certainly compelling when it comes down to those to penalty kicks.
Great stuff, Garth. Good luck tonight. And appreciate you stopping by as always. Talk to you soon.
Love it. Thanks, guys.
You too, man. Garth Lagerwey, Atlanta United president and CEO, says he's trying to change how we do business. That's interesting. All right, coming up, we got some headlines. July 18th, by the way, MLS transfer window. That's what he was talking about. Right. They'll figure out what's going to happen and maybe a new rule change. We'll come back. Braves win. Also, what's going on with the U.S. Men's Olympic basketball team? We'll let you hear what they had to say as they've been ready and working out. I think their first game is Wednesday, Mike, against Canada, like a preliminary game or whatever. But everybody's talking about these workouts in Vegas. We'll fill you in next.
A lot of guys hitting us up on the text line. You guys can always reach out to us, guys. Can't read all the texts, but a lot of guys, Carl, saying they're down with the business model. It's just tough that when a guy comes in to run a team that's had success like Atlanta United, you can't say, hey, man, your business model sucks, and I'm going to change everything. But, you know, slowly but surely getting back, and I just was talking to a couple of listeners on Twitter about it. If you go back and look at Garth's rosters in Seattle, those guys, there's some guys that are still there. These guys had been there for like 10 years. Some guys lasted 8 or 7. Imagine
that's a long time.
Having guys that, and they won 2 championships when he took it over. I mean, that's what we want here. Look, we'll always cherish the 17, 18, 19 seasons. But I like watch when you watch your football team, you want to know that guy's going to be there for 10 years, or your baseball player is going to be there for at least 8 to 10, right?
The core group, that's the phrase he used. And I think it's a perfect example of we know that we're going to have a certain amount. You're going to have turnover in every sport. But a certain amount of these guys are going to be here. It's like in the NFL, guys. You got to choose who you pay. Your core, if you're able to keep your core together, it's what Kansas City's been able to do. It's really what New England was able to do for a long period of time. And then remember, they went through the rut where a lot of those guys were gone. They still had Brady, but the team wasn't any good. And then they finally get back to the Super Bowl. Mike, I feel like that is the way that we should head. That's the direction we should be headed in. And I also think the fans would appreciate it more. I love winning. But this up and down, topsy-turvy thing, and is he here, is he not here? It's hard to follow, man. And sometimes you get so frustrated as a fan, you just don't want to get behind it.
If you go, guys, Googling. Look at the 2019 Seattle Sounders roster and look at the mix. It's not like he has an aversion to South American players. He's just getting the guys that he finds a way to keep them there. And that's, I think, was something we can all appreciate. But, hey, he did make some loot. Now we'll see what he does in part two of this act, right?
Yeah, $50 million. And he said, again, you know, they've got to go find. And I'm sure, guys, they've been scouting the world. They have an idea of what they want to do. It's just once the window opens July 18th, whether they'll be able to pull it off or not.
And full disclosure, I've gone to less and less United matches the last 3 years. I want to get re-engaged. But part of that is, you know, a winning product, a consistent product.
Coming up, guys, we are going to tell you more about our summer games. We've got our draft today where we will draft Team Dukes, Team Bell, and on our teams will be respective producers. We have a draft pool that we will draft from, but we'll flip a coin to see who gets the first pick, and then we'll go from there. But again, this is going to be a lot of fun over the next few days up at Lake Lanier Islands. We're going to be at Game Changers, Pickleball Social, and again at Margaritaville on Friday. And there will be different events that will be going on. So like Wednesday, axe throwing. Thursday, there'll be game boards. Now,
can you throw an axe at Abe?
You might have to, depending.
I was looking forward to axe catching.
Board games and pickle and social, and then cornhole. There's going to be a lot of different stuff. So we're looking forward to it. Draft is on the way in just a little bit. Stay right there. Big O's behind the glass. He is our engineer. Turtle is our executive producer. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Yeah, were you hoping there was some kind of boxing or MMA action going on between these guys? It's part of the games? Is that what you were hoping?
I mean, look, I was initially, now when I was told about this, my initial thought was, I think we should do a Hunger Games type thing where, you know, like six producers enter and one man or one leaves.
Put them out in the woods?
Yeah, I thought, you know, we could go out somewhere, I don't know, maybe we go out west near Villa Rica, you know, and we cordon off an area and let these guys just, you know, fight to the death.
Wait a minute, what? You have an attempt to get one knife that we're going to leave out there.
Well, I mean, really? You have different weapons. You have a battle axe. You have a bow and arrow. Boom. You know what I mean? You have a baseball bat. I mean, let them go to town on each other, man. Let's really ratchet this up a bit.
It is going to be a lot of fun. More info coming up next hour. Meanwhile, headlines, as always, brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Hey, let's start, if you're just joining us, Braves win, and it was a good result last night. 5-4. Mike mentioned it.
you know, you had a bunch of guys that came through in the clutch. Sean Murphy, he hits a tying home run with two outs in the ninth. Ozuna drives in the decisive run with a sac fly in the 11th. Mike, this is what we haven't really done a lot of. I'm not talking about extra innings. These big hits that win games. We've had a lot of hits.
Right.
But we haven't had those big hits that you feel like, man, every time our guys are up there. That was the difference last year.
Well, I mean, if you take it back, 21, 22, I mean, regular season, of course, all the clutch kind of went out the window against the Phillies. But, you know, the two-out rally. I mean, there's nobody on, and Rosario gets a base knock. And then Murphy hits that thing almost between, like, dead center and the swimming pool. I mean, that's the kind of clutch we've been – I know I say clutch almost every day talking to Grant about it. That's what we're missing. So hopefully this is going to be a springboard. How many times have we said that? Hope it's a springboard.
Well, here's the good news. As we said, in their last four games, they've averaged over six – or about six runs. But they've won three in a row. And, Mike, if you win this series and then you win the series against the Padres, you are distancing yourself in this wild card hunt. So you had to, you know, to go on the road and finish before the first half of the season this way, it's tough. But I think that is the key. And all of a sudden, then you would be going into the All-Star break on a three-series winning streak. That is what I'm hoping right. We get to by the end of the weekend. While we're talking Braves, let me hear Brian Snicker, because he was talking about, you know, again, the Olsen and Ozzie defensive plays. They played a big role. And then I'm going to let you hear the sack fly from Marcell Ozuna. Here is Snit.
And just to get up and launch it towards home. We made a few really nice – Ozzie made a couple again on some hard-hit balls. Just, you know, plays that you got to be heads up and ready to make the catch. And it takes all that to win a tough game like this.
What's your expectations for Eddie Rosario, by the way?
Well, that's a hell of a start. I mean, if you could just find some magic, I mean, give me some clutch. Like, nobody's hitting on this team right now. Hopefully, Riley, we're wanting to see a sustained, like, real hot streak for Austin Riley. He's getting better, right? We're seeing, like, pieces of hitting. You saw it last night. I just like to see Rosario. Can you bat 250 for us?
Oh.
Bat 250? Because we know he's solid. I mean, like, they're not a gold glove or anything like that at this stage of his career, but give me something, man. Give me something at the plate. Give me more of that clutch.
I hope so. Marcell, by the way, continues to do what he does, Mike, and he is now, we know this is going to be in the home run derby. I'm looking forward to see what he does. I mean, like once you commit, okay, I'm all in. I want him to win. It's sort of like when Acuna participated a few years ago. Mm. Our guy's in there. I want him to try to win this thing. But last night he hit a big sack fly.
1-1 pitch. Marcell to center field. Stays up for Thomas. Riley coming home. The throw is late. Head first slide. Braves back in front.
Yeah.
I really thought, man, I thought Ozuna was due against Diaz in the top of the sixth. Kelnick was on base and Olsen walked.
Yeah.
And, man, that kid just froze him with a curveball.
Nasty.
I mean, some good young pitching we've seen the last couple of weeks. And you can see Ozuna, man, he was – usually he keeps his cool. You could tell, man, he was really ticked that kid just froze him with the Uncle Charlie. But, again, he did give you the sack fly in the extra innings.
Hey, guys, U.S. men's Olympic team is working out. We're talking about hoops, NBA guys out there in Vegas, Mike. Training camp, it's technically that. I guess.
Yeah, it's just like the Junction Boys when Bear Bryant took them out in the desert in West Texas. Oh, well, you mean Las Vegas.
Yes,
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah, practice for a few hours, go have some fun. Either way, all these guys, right, we're talking about Steph Curry and LeBron and Paul George. So they're all out there, and they're having these conversations about the stuff that's happened to free agency. I want you to hear Paul George, Mike. This is what he said about not going back to the Clippers. He felt disrespected.
Oh.
Then I hear wind of, like, you know, what they're going to give Kawhi. So I'm like, just give me what Kawhi got. Like, y'all view us the same. Like, you know, we came here together. I'll take what Kawhi got. Like, no problem. I was cool with that.
but he says they didn't offer that.
Okay.
Now we're going to negotiations. Now they bring it to 3 years, 150. All right, that's cool. It sucks that it had to get to this point, like that we couldn't get this figured out a lot sooner. But now we at the end of the year, 3 years, 150. So I'm like, all right, like now we're in a ballpark. You know what I mean? Now we can have conversation here. I presented the 3 150, no trade, because in the meeting they're like, you know, we want you here long term. We want to. You know, when you're retired, we want you to be a Clippers for a lifetime, like all of this stuff. So I'm like, cool. Give me the 3 years, 150, no trade then. Like, no trade clause. Then I'm not, like, I'm taking less, but at least I know I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm committed to y'all. Like, they didn't want to do the no trade.
They didn't want to do that.
No, I guess they didn't. I'm looking. So the last 4 years, it's 229 games. I'm trying to add up who's played less games for the Clippers between Kawhi and Paul George.
Well, that's the thing. Kawhi is always, at least here, the last few years. He's always been hurt, right? I mean, after they won the chip in Toronto and he makes the decision to go to L.A., which is fine.
He's played 14 less games than Kawhi, so it's a push.
It is.
I mean, in case you're wondering if one was more resilient or one was different, because both guys can't stay on the floor. That's the knock on the Clippers. Guys get hurt when they go into playoffs.
Well, and the thing to that, Mike, is there's no continuity. So you've not played all these games together, but yet, you know, everybody just expects these stars to jump in and just be clutch and good together. It doesn't happen that way. I will say this. We know DJ and Trey didn't work, but part of that, a lot of that was this particular season. Trey was out, damn, 2.5 months or whatever it was. Right. So, you know, you're just never going to get that thing that happens when guys are playing together and you start to get a feel for each other.
Now, take away the COVID year, but he played 31 games, 56, and 74. I know guys are getting on us about Brandon Ingram being banged up. I mean, that's not worth a big contract. I'm sorry, man. Get your feelings involved in it. Come on.
It's not. That was Paul George. Here's Steph Curry, because he was asked out there in Vegas about, has it sunk in yet about Klay not being with you guys anymore?
Not having Klay, man, it still hasn't really sunk in, just because you've been doing it for 13 years together. And coach made a joke. Sometimes you can't really find Klay in the off seasons and you don't really hear from him as much, and then he shows up at training camp ready to go. I kind of have this idea that in October he'll still like, oh, hey guys, what's up? But I know it's not happening.
You and I, if you missed it last week in Guy Talk, we had this article that said everyone gets on Draymond as being the bad guy.
Yeah.
And some folks were saying the last couple of years, and maybe it was a byproduct of all the injuries and he was just down, but they said that he was more high maintenance than Draymond at times in that facility, which I found kind of interesting.
It is. And I think a lot of that had to do with, speaking of disrespect, I guess everybody's disrespected.
Right.
Paul George feeling some kind of way. I think Klay felt some kind of way.
Poole got a contract. Yep. They've gotten their bag over, right?
Yep. All these guys, I say all of them, but speaking of cores, Draymond got paid, and so did Curry. He didn't. And he's like, look, I've been here for these four championships as well. What's the deal? Nevertheless, he's going to be with the Mavs.
But he also got hurt. I mean, he just caught the worst piece of luck as far as back-to-back injury.
Yeah, it is timing. There's no doubt about it. Hey, this hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. NFL Blitz is on the way, and he says, look, there's nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing. His words. We'll tell you who we're talking about coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A lot of guys hitting us up on the text line. You guys can always reach out to us, guys. Can't read all the texts, but a lot of guys, Carl, saying they're down with the business model. It's just tough that when a guy comes in to run a team that's had success like Atlanta United, you can't say, hey, man, your business model sucks, and I'm going to change everything. But, you know, slowly but surely getting back, and I just was talking to a couple of listeners on Twitter about it. If you go back and look at Gart's rosters in Seattle, those guys, there's some guys that are still there. These guys had been there for like 10 years. Some guys lasted 8 or 7. Imagine
that's a long time.
Having guys that, and they won 2 championships when he took it over. I mean, that's what we want here. Not, look, we'll always cherish the 17, 18, 19 seasons, but when you watch your football team, you want to know that guy's going to be there for 10 years, or your baseball player's going to be there for at least 8 to 10, right?
The core group, that's the phrase he used, and I think it's a perfect example of we know that we're going to have a certain amount. You're going to have turnover in every sport. But a certain amount of these guys are going to be here. It's like in the NFL, guys. You got to choose who you pay. Your core, if you're able to keep your core together, it's what Kansas City's been able to do. It's really what New England was able to do for a long period of time. And then remember, they went through the rut where a lot of those guys were gone. They still had Brady, but the team wasn't any good. And then they finally get back to the Super Bowl. Mike, I feel like that is the way that we should head. That's the direction we should be headed in. And I also think the fans would appreciate it more. I love winning. But this up and down, topsy-turvy thing, and is he here, is he not here? It's hard to follow, man. And sometimes you get so frustrated as a fan, you just don't want to get behind it.
If you go, guys, Google it. Be Googling. Look at the 2019 Seattle Sounders roster and look at the mix. It's not like he has an aversion to South American players. He's just getting the guys that he finds a way to keep them there. And that's, I think, something we can all appreciate. But, hey, he did make some loot. Now we'll see what he does in part two of this act, right?
Yeah, $50 million. And he said, again, you know, they've got to go find. And I'm sure, guys, they've been scouting the world. They have an idea of what they want to do. It's just once the window opens July 18th, whether they'll be able to pull it off or not.
Hey, and full disclosure, I've gone to less and less United matches the last 3 years. I want to get re-engaged. But part of that is, you know, a winning product, a consistent product.
Coming up, guys, we are going to tell you more about our summer games. We've got our draft today where we will draft Team Dukes, Team Bell, and on our teams will be respective producers. We have a draft pool that we will draft from, but we'll flip a coin to see who gets the first pick, and then we'll go from there. But again, this is going to be a lot of fun over the next few days up at Lake Lanier Islands. We're going to be at Game Changers, Pickleball Social, and again at Margaritaville on Friday. And there will be different events that will be going on. So like Wednesday, axe throwing. Thursday, there'll be game boards. Now,
can you throw an axe at Abe?
You might have to, depending.
I was looking forward to axe catching.
Board games at Pickle and Social, and then cornhole. There's going to be a lot of different stuff. So we're looking forward to it. Draft is on the way in just a little bit. Stay right there. Big O's behind the glass. He is our engineer. Turtle is our executive producer. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Yeah, were you hoping, like, I don't know, there was some kind of boxing or MMA action going on between these guys? It's part of the games? Is that what you were hoping?
I mean, look, I was initially, when I was told about this, my initial thought was, I think we should do a Hunger Games type thing where, you know, like, six producers enter and one man or one leaves.
You just put them out in the woods?
Yeah, I thought, you know, we could go out somewhere, I don't know, maybe we go out west near Villa Rica, you know, and we cordon off an area and let these guys just, you know, fight to the death.
Wait a minute, what? You have an attempt to get one knife that we're going to leave out there.
Well, I mean,
really?
You have different weapons. You have a battle axe. You have a bow and arrow. Boom. You know what I mean? You have a baseball bat. I mean, let them go to town on each other, man. Let's really ratchet this up a bit.
It is going to be a lot of fun. More info coming up next hour. Meanwhile, headlines, as always, brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live well. Hey, let's start, if you're just joining us, Braves win, and it was a good result last night. 5-4, Mike mentioned it. You know, you had a bunch of guys that came through in the clutch. Sean Murphy, he hits a tying home run with two outs in the ninth. Ozuna drives in the decisive run with a sac fly in the 11th. Mike, this is what we haven't really done a lot of. I'm not talking about extra innings. These big hits that win games. We've had a lot of hits,
right,
but we haven't had those big hits that you feel like, man, every time our guys are up there. That was the difference last year.
Well, I mean, if you take it back, 21, 22, I mean, regular season, of course, all the clutch kind of went out the window against the Phillies. But, you know, the two-out rally. I mean, there's nobody on, and Rosario gets a base knock, and then Murphy hits that thing almost between, like, dead center and the swimming pool. I mean, that's the kind of clutch we've been – I know I say clutch almost every day talking to Grant about it. That's what we're missing. So hopefully this is going to be a springboard. How many times have we said that? Hope it's a springboard.
Well, here's the good news. As we said, in the last four games, they've averaged over about six runs, but they've won three in a row. And, Mike, if you win this series and then you win the series against the Padres, you are distancing yourself in this wild card hunt. So you had to, you know, to go on the road and finish before the first half of the season this way, it's tough. But I think that is the key. And all of a sudden, then you would be going into the All-Star break on a three-series winning streak. That is what I'm hoping right. We get to by the end of the weekend. While we're talking Braves, let me hear Brian Snicker, because he was talking about, you know, again, the Olsen and Ozzie defensive plays. They played a big role. And then I'm going to let you hear the sack fly from Marcell Ozuna. Here is Snit.
And just to get up and launch it towards home. We made a few really nice. Ozzie made a couple again on some hard hit balls. Just, you know, plays that you got to be heads up and ready to make the catch. And it takes all that to win a tough game like this.
What's your expectations for Eddie Rosario, by the way?
Well, that's a hell of a start. I mean, if you could just find some magic, I mean, give me some clutch. Like, nobody's hitting on this team right now. Hopefully, Riley, we're wanting to see a sustained, like, real hot streak for Austin Riley. He's getting better, right? We're seeing, like, pieces of hitting. You saw it last night. I just like to see Rosario again. Can you bat 250 for us?
Oh.
Bat 250, because we know he's solid. I mean, they're not a gold glove or anything like that at this stage of his career, but give me something, man. Give me something at the plate. Give me more of that clutch.
I hope so. Marcell, by the way, continues to do what he does, Mike, and he is now, we know this is going to be in the home run derby. I'm looking forward to see what he does. I mean, that, like, once you commit, okay, I'm all in. I want him to win. It's sort of like when Acuna participated a few years ago. Mm. Our guy's in there. I want him to try to win this thing. But last night he hit a big sack fly.
1-1 pitch. Marcell to center field. Stays up for Thomas. Riley coming home. The throw is late. Head first slide. Braves back in front.
Yeah.
I really thought, man, I thought Ozuna was due against Diaz in the top of the sixth. Kelnick was on base and Olsen walked.
Yeah.
And, man, that kid just froze him with a curveball.
Nasty.
I mean, some good young pitching we've seen the last couple of weeks. And you can see Ozuna, man, he was – usually he keeps his cool. You could tell, man, he was really ticked that kid just froze him with the Uncle Charlie. But, again, he did give you the sack fly in the extra innings.
Hey, guys, U.S. men's Olympic team is working out. We're talking about hoops, NBA guys out there in Vegas, Mike. Training camp, it's technically that. I get.
Yeah, it's just like the Junction Boys when Bear Bryant took them out in the desert in West Texas. Oh, well, it'd be Las Vegas.
Yes,
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah, practice for a few hours, go have some fun. Either way, all these guys, right, we're talking about Steph Curry and LeBron and Paul George. So they're all out there, and they're having these conversations about the stuff that's happened to free agency. I want you to hear Paul George, Mike. This is what he said about not going back to the Clippers. He felt disrespected.
Oh.
Then I hear wind of, like, you know, what they're going to give Kawhi. So I'm like, just give me what Kawhi got. Like, y'all view us the same. Like, you know, we came here together. I'll take what Kawhi got. Like, no cool problem. I was cool with that.
but he says they didn't offer that.
Okay.
Now we going to negotiations. Now they bring it to 3 years, 150. All right, that's cool. It sucks that it had to get to this point, like that we couldn't get this figured out a lot sooner. But now we at the end of the year, 3 years, 150. So I'm like, all right, like now we're in a ballpark. You know what I mean? Now we can have conversation here. I presented the 3 150, no trade, because in the meeting they're like, you know, we want you here long term. We want to. You know, when you're retired, we want you to be a Clippers for a lifetime, like all of this stuff. So I'm like, cool. Give me the 3 years, 150, no trade then. Like, no trade clause. Then I'm not, like, I'm taking less, but at least I know I'm here. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm committed to y'all. Like, they didn't want to do the no trade.
They didn't want to do that?
They didn't want to do that? No, I guess they didn't.
I'm looking. So the last 4 years, it's 229 games. I'm trying to add up who's played less games for the Clippers between Kawhi and Paul George.
Well, that's the thing. Kawhi is always, at least here, the last few years, he's always been hurt, right? I mean, after they won the chip in Toronto and he makes the decision to go to L.A., which is fine.
He's played 14 less games than Kawhi, so it's a push.
It is.
I mean, in case you're wondering if one was more resilient or one was different, because both guys can't stay on the floor. That's the knock on the Clippers. Guys get hurt when they go into playoffs.
Well, and the thing to that, Mike, is there's no continuity. So you've not played all these games together, but yet, you know, everybody just expects these stars to jump in and just be clutch and good together. It doesn't happen that way. I will say this. We know DJ and Trey didn't work, but part of that, a lot of that was this particular season. Trey was out, damn, 2.5 months or whatever it was. Right. So, you know, you're just never going to get that thing that happens when guys are playing together and you start to get a feel for each other.
Now, take away the COVID year, but he played 31 games, 56, and 74. I know guys are getting honest about Brandon Ingram being banged up. I mean, that's not worth a big contract. I'm sorry, man. Get your feelings involved in it. Come on.
It's not. That was Paul George. Here's Steph Curry, because he was asked out there in Vegas about, has it sunk in yet about Klay not being with you guys anymore?
Not having Klay, man, it still hasn't really sunk in, just because you've been doing it for 13 years together. And coach made a joke. Sometimes you can't really find Klay in the off seasons and you don't really hear from him as much, and then he shows up at training camp ready to go. I kind of have this idea that in October he'll still, like, oh, hey guys, what's up? Like, but I know it's not happening.
You and I, if you missed it last week in Guy Talk, we had this article that said everyone gets on Draymond as being the bad guy.
Yeah.
And some folks were saying the last couple of years, and maybe it was a byproduct of all the injuries and he was just down, but they said that he was more high maintenance than Draymond at times in that facility, which I found kind of interesting.
It is. And I think a lot of that had to do with, speaking of disrespect, I guess everybody's disrespected.
Right.
Paul George feeling some kind of way. I think Klay felt some kind of way.
Poole got a contract. They've gotten their bag over, right?
Yep. All these guys, I say all of them, but speaking of cores, Draymond got paid, and so did Curry. He didn't. And he's like, look, I've been here for these four championships as well. What's the deal? Nevertheless, he's going to be with the Mavs.
But he also got hurt. I mean, he just caught the worst piece of luck as far as back-to-back injury.
Yeah, it is timing. There's no doubt about it. Hey, this hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. NFL Blitz is on the way, and he says, look, there's nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing. His words. We'll tell you who we're talking about coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.